Cape Talk. Fabulous life.
Now, I know some women love to shop and they can think of nothing better than spending a few hours trawling the malls, trying things on, discarding, buying as they go. I am not one of those women. I find shopping for clothes at best a necessary annoyance and at worst a slog that leaves me depressed and feeling fat and unfashionable and frumpy. And I know I'm not alone in feeling that way. So what if you could have someone take all of that away from you and do the hard work for you? A personal stylist who would not only advise you on what would suit you, what styles and colors would work best for you, but would also take some of the slog out of the actual shopping. Well, my guests in studio today are all about offering that solution. We have one business which is a relatively recent startup, the other a more established personal styling business. Both of them, though, want to see you look your best with their help. We're so glad they're here to share that help with our listeners. A very warm Cape Talk welcome, firstly, to personal stylist Candice Illich of With Style. Great to have you with us.
Hi, Pippa. Thank you.
And then to Matthew Potter and Lunwabu Nguduso, who are the founders of a newish personal styling service called Lemon Style. Great to meet you guys.
Thank you so much, Pippa.
So we'd welcome your calls if you've got questions about how to streamline your shopping, how to streamline your sorting of your cupboards, anything like that. Give us a call on 021-446-0567 or leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. You're also very welcome to leave a comment or ask a question by SMS to 31567. Candice, I know you've been running your business since 2010 already. What made you go into this field?
I had a background in fashion and from as a model, really, and from that into retail. And after that, having sold the retail business, wanting to do something new, and I happened to already be styling my friends by chance. Asking me, and it sort of moved forth. But essentially what I wanted to do at that point was connect with women and help women feel good about themselves.
As I just said in the start, I'm sure I'm not the only one who feels that way, because the process of where to even start, particularly if you've been stuck in a rut and worn the same clothes and the same hairstyle and the same accessories for years. I mean, you're your own walking best advert, Candice. You look stylishly done from head to toe, but that's obviously what you specialize in. Is there such a thing as your typical customer, or do you help a wide variety of women?
No, it's quite varied. Although, it is often, I think the most common factor would be that women are stuck in a rut. And I do understand that, having had my third child, I had back-to-back pregnancies, I was out of shape for myself, and I didn't have much budget. And when I wanted to start, I was sort of two seasons back, and I just thought, where do I begin? Where do I actually start? And I don't want to waste my money. I want it to make sense. But fortunately, I found my feet and started sort of working on myself. And that was when I, just after that, began to help friends. So that would be the most common factor, is women who've sort of gone, hang on a second, suddenly I'm left behind and I don't know why, and the shops are overwhelming.
Yeah. And they really are. Walking from one end of a mall to another, trying to put together an outfit can be completely overwhelming. It's a difficult one. Everybody's got their own personal preferences, their own personal style and taste. How do you marry your eye for what works for somebody with their own, perhaps, preferences, some of which might be five seasons old?
Sure, yeah. I think that is probably my strength, my greatest strength, is somehow intuitively is understanding. I need to connect to the person. I don't want to put people in a uniform. I have guidelines, but they're not my rules. And when you spend time with a person, when they let you into their personal space, when they've actually let you go through their wardrobe, when they have changed in front of you in the first half an hour of meeting them, I mean, that's really fast. They've let you in. By the time they phone me, they're willing to just engage with me. So from there, the obvious factors of what size and height and shape, there's all of that. But there's also the personality. Who is she? Is she a quieter person? Is she a louder person? Is she, then there's skin tone and saturation. Is she going to respond well to color? Is she going to need softer shades? And from there, it's a little bit of an adventure together when we do our first shop. I like the first shop to be in the shops together, because there are so many options for me then. If I try something, it's not working, I can try something else.
Yeah.
My established clients, I usually shop for them by myself and I take everything to them. And I have about a 90% hit rate on my shopping.
That's amazing. Yeah. So you are, once you know the person and know what works for them, know what their lifestyle needs, you can go to the shops for them.
Absolutely.
And if they don't like it, I mean, do you have a relationship with the shops that's easy enough to take things
back?
If
it's not, I'll return a few things or I'll exchange a few things. But what I have found interesting for myself is I can only shop for one person at a time. In the time that I'm in those shops, I'm sort of in that person's energy and space and style. And I'll walk into a shop, and if she's a quieter, smaller, petite person, person who needs soft shades, I literally will only see that. It's like I become colorblind to everything else, and I go very quickly through, and I'll find it. Whereas if she's a loud, athletic build, and she needs something stronger, I will literally just see what she needs. So I guess that's just years of practice, and that's what I take back to them. Yeah,
that is fascinating. Now, that's years of practice. Let's come to the newcomers in the studio who are relatively new to this market, and I'm intrigued to find out what brought them into this business, because Matthew and Lunwaba are both either current or former UCT students with a background, one of you in engineering and one of you in medicine. How do you start up a styling company? Where did the business idea come from?
Well, Pippa, I think Candace has touched on a lot of those pain points about shopping that not just women but men as well experience whenever it comes that time of year you need to go and shop for new clothes, whether it's a new season or the old clothes are looking a bit tatty. And I really appreciate the way that Candace articulated that. But the way that we got into this, I suppose, is a passion for fashion and dressing well, and with that, helping other people to dress well. But the name of our game is based on life hacking, and it's based on the idea of making things easy and efficient. There's no downplaying the importance of that personal touch that comes with being personally styled, but our whole service hinges on ease and efficiency. So on our website service, you fill out a style profile, which teases out some of your lifestyle needs and preferences. And based on that, we have a really cool system that from your responses to our survey lets us know what you need and what your lifestyle is like, and puts together some rudimentary packages. From that, we work with that and organize a personal consult with you in 30 minutes or less at your office, at your home, wherever works for you. Then we offer you three packages at three different price points, and from there we deliver it straight to your door whenever you need it, as the seasons change, as your preferences change. So in terms of how we got started in it, maybe Lunwaba can elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah, so Pod and I used to stay with each other last year, and we were both studying. And at the time, we enjoyed the idea of dressing up and helping each other out with our style choices, and I guess we got a liking to it. And also, I think with the background in engineering, I'm all about ease and bringing efficiency into a system. So with myself, I'm all about saving time, and I would want to save other people time. So we have the style guide at the end where, you know, if you have no idea what you want to wear in the morning, you just look and you just pick an outfit for the day. But with that, it's taking away the shopping experience, which is an anxiety prone, situation for a lot of people. Just bringing that efficiency and ease into their life and not having to worry about what clothes to wear in the morning and shopping in itself. Yeah.
It's fascinating to hear guys articulating this, because I think most people would assume, as I did in my conversation with Candace, that the bulk of clients for a business like this would be women. As a matter of interest, of the clients that you have so far, what's the gender splits between men and women?
So our initial focus was men, where we had sort of marketed to men, but saw that obviously the there are women just like you who sort of don't like shopping as well. So we've sort of opened that up, and we have had women clients as well, but mainly men clients at this point in time.
Okay, so taking out the pain points is the bottom line here. Now, you guys are obviously using technology as a big part of that process, and I believe you've actually got a business accelerator program backing you in the development of those systems. Yes. Matthew, can you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. So we're very fortunate to be backed by the Allen Gray IVC Incubator. It's been a whirlwind of a year in terms of coming to grips with a lot of the processes involved in starting a business, and they've been really fundamental in helping us through that process, and also fortunate in terms of financial and tech backing from Allen Gray. So that's something we're really proud of, and hopefully we can do them proud over the course of the next few years.
Where to? I mean, is this a life changer for you two? Is engineering and a degree in engineering, a degree in medicine going to be put by the wayside and focusing on a fashion business, or is this something that you're just going to end up being the best dressed engineer and the best dressed doctor in town?
I think for me, I like the idea of focusing on this. I see growth, and I see a scalable sort of idea where if it's a fully automated system, you can sort of bring tech into fashion, as well as, you know, keeping that personal aspect, which is something which is very important. For me, it's about scaling it. It's about bringing that tech into it, building a database and connecting with brands, local brands, international brands, and sort of bringing fashion to everyone's door.
I think Lenoir was downplaying this as well. He's turned down two master's opportunities in the UK to scale up this business over the next few years. So I think we definitely see a lot of growth potential here, and hopefully with South Africa's backing, we can make it happen.
That's fantastic, fantastic. I mean, we know the growth of online shopping is exponential at the moment.
Yes.
And whereas 5 years ago, very few people were taking it up, increasing numbers are going, I'll rather buy off a Spree or a Superbalist or somebody like that, a Zando, because it is easier, I don't have to leave my home. I'm interested to see how you see that slotting in with your business model. Candice, for example, has it affected the way clients approach you and the way you shop for them?
Things have changed so much. I mean, really, when I started, people didn't know what I was doing. It was hard for them to even understand. And now, you know, I can do a blog post and Google sends traffic my way. People are looking. Aside from that, yes, I can use online. And I do to a certain degree. But I think in my case, it's a very personal experience. I'm certainly capturing and using programs to capture the outfits that I've built, which is marvelous, because then when I go through to the next season, I'm building on what I had the season before, which when you have a number of clients becomes quite critical to keep their wardrobe, you know, literally
and
captured
in
an image.
Yes.
Yeah, and I can at least see and then keep growing. Yeah.
Okay. We've got our first caller on the line. I'm going to ask you to just pop your headphones on, everyone, so that you can hear clearly what Ron in Rosebank has to say or ask. Ron, welcome to the show.
Hi there, Pippa. Hi there to you and your listeners. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. What's your question or comment, Ron?
I'd first of all just like to say it's really inspirational to hear what those young men are doing. And my comment or my question for them is, what would be the best men's fashion tips for summer 2019?
You've stolen my question, Ron, but I'm happy to let you ask it on my behalf. So, guys, what's happening in men's fashion heading into summer, the coming summer?
So I suppose it's difficult to give a broad sweeping tip for all men, and with what our business model hinges on is what works for you and what you need in your lifestyle. But in terms of what we see as being big and what we're wearing coming up, I suppose it's more of a minimalist look. So it's a very Scandinavian minimal logos and brands, but very natural colors is what we're thinking for our look. But again, it's about what the client needs and wants that we're focused on.
Candice, I mean, it's trends one part of the conversation, but personal style and personal needs another. How much are you influenced by what's current in a particular season versus what's classic and is going to endure and be worn again and again?
Yeah, I think when I'm shopping, I'm looking firstly at a longer picture. But, you know, it's very boring to just sit on a classic picture all the time. So to allow the influences of the trends to come in with what's working for my client, and particularly if it happens to be a year where that particular trend, a little while ago we had very strong shoulders happening at the moment, they've gone more round. But for my smaller shoulder clients, it was fantastic. We got some great investment leather jackets. That was a good time because it's always going to look good on her. But then the next season where it's a more round shoulder thing, I might miss that one, but I'll pick up on the other, like this season with the midi skirt or whatever. She can go that way. Mm-hmm. So it's an influence and we can use it. And when it's a trend, there are going to be so many things to complement that particular style or color. So it's a good time to shop for that at that time.
But it also means you don't have to go completely on trend and douse yourself from head to toe. I mean, often you can use accessories just to pick up the trend if it's not something that's you're naturally going to embrace long term.
Absolutely. I'm really not for the sort of fast shopping. It's not my scene. The world is realizing that we need to buy quality and hold on to it. And if anything's a trend, that is the greatest trend that's happening and developing is investing in pieces that are actually worth investing. And fast fashion in smaller things, T-shirts, scarves or whatever, you can certainly play with fast fashion, but it should be what you bring in for fun. It's not your core.
Okay. A few people asking where you will shop. So let's start with the Lemon Style. Lenoir and Matthew, I mean, do you have relationships with particular retailers that are your go-to source, or are you quite wide in your target range?
So I would say we are quite wide. And as Matthew has mentioned, it is based on the style preferences of the client.
Yep.
But we shop at Trenery, for Ladies Witchery, Country Road. So those are obviously shopping outlets where you can get for both sexes. But we also shop at local brands. We're trying to get affiliated to local brands, and we have some people we're speaking to in the pipeline, Spaghetti Mafia and Soul, and a variety of brands which are here in Cape Town for young and old markets.
Okay, so you'll tailor where you shop according to who you're shopping for and their particular style. I would imagine the same applies to you, Candice?
Definitely. It depends on the client. I have relationships with a few core boutiques or specific shops who I like to look at first. They stock what I believe in. So, you know, I do love Replay. I love Page Denim. I love Indian Summer. There's Desiree Clothing. So I will look at them. But being a personal stylist and not holding stock, my priority is my client. And I'm not trapped with overheads. So I don't have to make them buy everything from these shops. Yes, those are the ones I like. But I have to have a long-term relationship with the client. And 6 months later, she's got to love what I found her.
Yeah.
So I also love, Country Road. And now there's H&M for quick fill-ins and lovely blouses. But if I was going for, trousers, I'm preferring to go Witchery, somewhere a bit more where their quality is even more important.
It also means that I would guess that clients know they can trust you because there's no financial bonus for you to shop at a particular outlet. They don't feel that you are selling them the Witchery pants rather than the H&M pants because you're getting a cut from Witchery.
It's critically important for me. And so even at the boutiques, yes, they do look after me. I will stop my client shopping because I need this relationship to last.
Mm.
That's first.
So some questions coming in on our email and SMS. And again, you are very welcome to ask a question either of Matthew and Lunwaba of Lemon Style or of Candice of With Style. They're personal stylists here to help you on improving your shopping experience or even taking the whole shopping experience away from you, which is my long-term goal in this process. Claire on the email is saying, I dislike the way it's so difficult to find clothes made out of natural fibers. Man-made fabrics make you feel so hot. And she's wondering, am I the only person with this problem? Is that one you've encountered before, Candice?
I prefer natural fabrics. I also, mm-hmm. They make you hot. I mean, it's essentially just plastic. But if you look at something like rayon or a viscose, they're not as expensive as looking at silk or linen. And they are in general stores, so it's worth looking at.
Okay. Claire also goes on to complain about how much dowdy clothing is around for the over 50s in particular. I would say the over 40s, Claire, I'm already struggling with that. I know particularly when it comes to evening wear for a formal do, it can be really hard to find something that's not a mini skirt in the front and plunging back in front, which, let's face it, are styles that are long behind me. What's your tip for great evening wear shopping, Candice?
Great evening wear. Goodness. Okay, you're right. It is a bit more daunting once we're getting, especially if we're getting sort of 45 plus.
Mm.
I like the boutiques, to be honest. I have a number of them. I keep an eye on them. And those are often the things that people call me in for. I don't really like one-off shops, but for my clients, there are a number of boutiques. It depends on your budget. I mean, it really, really does. So that is something that is not... I can't say to you, go to the store. That's where you're going to find it. Because if you are 20, you can go to YDE and you can find it.
Something fabulous.
Because there is so much. But for a little more sophisticated, a little bit older, there are local designers. But but even they find that, I think, holding that stock, I mean, it's a challenge for them. They've got to be able to move it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can call me directly.
What about you guys? Have you had to work on formal functions? I'm guessing that your market's probably a younger market. Am I right in assuming that?
So at the moment, it is very much working professionals that just don't have the time to go shopping. We're trying to remedy that. And so we've had a few clients that have needed suits made up. So that's something we focus on in terms of our short consult, is making sure to get our measurements right such that when we are tailoring our suits, it's fits just right. In terms of formal wear, we haven't had much experience yet in terms of weddings or I suppose other formal occasions, but we're working on it. We're consulting with a broad base of people with the know-how in the fashion industry to get a good insight on that.
Okay. Let me ask you all three of you to reflect on this. Some of the biggest style no-nos you've encountered. So you go in with an eye for that personal consult to look at helping somebody make over the wardrobe, perhaps just liven up their style and introduce a bit of something new into it. What are you finding are the most common mistakes people make? We've spoken about getting stuck in a rut, Candice. So not changing your style at all is one problem. Are there any other common no-nos?
Well, in not changing your style, what's very common for any woman over sort of 40 was in our, when we were 20, all the tops were skin tight. And so they're often still wearing skin tight little tops where it's not flattering anymore. And actually a lovely silky blouse that falls nicely is so much more sensual and elegant. And then balancing that with, you know, something slim fitting on the bottom, it works really well. That's the first thing I'm usually throwing out.
Okay, so making sure the fit is right, the kind of fabric you're wearing is right, and that you're not stuck in wearing what looked good on you when your body was a different shape.
When you were 20. I mean, even for 20-year-olds, they're more interesting nowadays. We didn't have much, really. If I look back, fashion was, it dictated more. Now there's such an expanse. I mean, that's why when you say, well, what are the trends? Well, there are a lot of different trends happening. So to try and put it in a nutshell is quite hard.
Quite hard, yeah.
Which is great, but yeah. Times have changed.
What about you guys? Fashion no-nos?
I would say a lot comes in fit. With men, they get tight shirts and things which are too tight around the neck, too tight on the shoulders, and too short. So a lot of mistakes are made where you get a shirt which fits you or may fit you right, but it's too short. And it is quite unflattering. You know, once you get older, and I guess a stomach develops, you know, certain things hang over you, which isn't unpleasant. I mean, which is unpleasant. And also with pants, you get loose fitting pants. And I guess what we do, and I guess what Matthew touched on, is the whole tailoring and ensuring that the measurements are correct so that we don't make those mistakes for you. And we get things which may initially not feel comfortable because you're not used to the idea of things fitting you right, but then once you're comfortable and people see that on you, then things start to change and you're wearing clothes which are fit for your body.
Okay. Let's finish with a little quick touch on color. You mentioned, Candice, that one of the things you will do is assess those color palettes that the person is comfortable with, but also look at things like skin tone and saturation. I clearly remember the book Color Me Beautiful in the 1980s, which told us all whether we were winter or summer or spring or autumn color palettes. Do you still work on that kind of model?
No.
Thank goodness.
I can't. Okay. I really don't buy it. So again, when I said guidelines, yes, obviously I've read those books. I know that background. But it's a guideline, and most of us can wear most colors. It's just that it's really good to know which are your good colors, because those are the ones you can just pop on and go out. You don't even have to have makeup on, or you've got just a tiny bit. And the colors that are maybe more challenging, well, that's the one you must have makeup on and you need some lipstick.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're in a uniform, and I can't do that.
Okay. Glad to hear that. Thank you. One final question, and then we must wrap quickly. Do either of you do any maternity wear styling?
No, I mean, obviously it's something I've perhaps looked at in the past, but there's not a huge demand for that as yet, and there's so much more available in the stores. Yeah, there is more available, and you know it's a limited time.
Yeah, okay. So not worth buying a whole new wardrobe for those couple of months.
No, a couple of good things, and you wear those, and then you're done. You usually don't want to see them again afterwards.
I can concur with that. Just in closing, guys, because we do have to run to an ad break, I know that Lemon Styling wanted to offer a bit of a special offer for our listeners today. Do you want to just chat us through that?
Yeah, so we've got two fantastic competitions we're running at the moment, one of which is our social media competition. So if the listeners can check us out on Lemon Style on Instagram. If you like the post, tag two friends and fill out your Lemon profile, you can stand a chance to win a free Lemon Style box delivered straight to your door. And also for all the Cape Talk listeners, if you fill out your style profile and enter Springtime as the promo code, you can also get a free consult with your package.
Thank you.
Some exciting stuff for the listeners.
Thanks for that. And Candice, I'd love to leave our listeners with your contact details as well. How do they connect with WithStyle?
They can find me on www.withstyle.co.za. There's a hyphen between with and style. So yeah, just look me up on the website, and I am on Facebook. And otherwise, just email me. I'm in Cape Town.
Thanks for all the style tips, everybody. Great to have you with us today. You've been listening to Candice Illich of WithStyle and Matthew Potter and Lonwabo Mguduso of Lemon Style.